Well, good morning and welcome to church. How's everybody doing this morning? Come on now. Are you ready to worship the Lord? All right. Well, I'm going to ask you, let's stand. I'm going to open in prayer and we're going to go right into worship. And so, let's just lift our hands. Lord, we thank you this morning for this wonderful time and this opportunity to serve you and to worship you. And Lord, we ask right now that you would just touch our hearts. No matter what needs we carry in this morning, God, we pray that you will meet us right where we're at. Lord, may we place our trust in you. May, Lord, we just surrender it all to you. Lord, may we open our hearts in worship. May we open our hearts in learning from your word. And today, may we leave here better than we came. Lord, we thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship.
Amen. We're going to start off with the old hymn, When We All Get to Heaven. How many of you are looking forward to heaven this morning? Amen. Let's sing it today. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. And while we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Oh, let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. We'll onward to the prize before us, soon his beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. And when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. And when we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Come on, let's practice this now. Hallelujah! Shout the victory. Praise you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Who can satisfy our soul like the Lord? Amen.
Who can satisfy my soul like you? Who on earth could comfort me and love me like you do? Who could ever be more faithful, true? I will trust in you. I will trust in you, my God. There is a fountain is a king, victorious warrior, Lord of everything. My rock, my shelter, my very own, blessed Redeemer, who reigns upon the throne. Oh, who can satisfy my soul like you? Who on earth could comfort me and love me like you do? Who could ever be more faithful, true? I will trust in you. I will trust in you, my God. There is a fountain. Who is a king? Victorious warrior, the Lord of everything. My rock, my shelter, my very own, blessed Redeemer, who reigns upon the throne. There is a fountain. Who is a king? Victorious warrior, the Lord of everything. My rock, my shelter, my very own, blessed Redeemer, who reigns upon the throne, who reigns upon the throne, who reigns upon the
Come on, give the Lord praise this morning. We praise you, Lord, today. You reign upon the throne. We worship you. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Great things you have done. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. One of my favorite songs written by Andre Crouch. It's called My Tribute. I just love this song. To God be the glory. How many are thankful for what the Lord has done in your life, your family? Hallelujah.
How can I say thanks for the things you have done for me? Things so undeserved, yet you gave. To prove your love for me, the voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. Oh, that I am and ever hope to be. I owe it all. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things He has done with His blood. Save me with His power. He has raised me. To God be the glory for the things He has done. Just let me live my life. let it be pleasing, Lord, to thee. And should I gain any praise, let it go to Calvary, and with his blood he has saved me, with his power he has raised me. To God be the glory for the things he has done. Sing it out, to God, oh, to God be the glory.
Great things, Lord, you have done. We worship you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your amazing grace, oh God. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears dream. How precious did that grace appear. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood his mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. The has promised good to me. His word, my hope secures. He will my sword and portion be, as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood his
mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free, and by my Savior ransomed me. His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below will be forever mine, will be forever mine. You are forever.
Praise God. Praise God. We need to lift up Elaine Smith this morning and George and their family. Elaine is in the last stages of Alzheimer's and however you pronounce it, Alzheimer's. Also recovering from her broken leg. And so we want to lift up Elaine this morning and the family as they navigate through this time with her. Donna Flowers is not feeling well. David Harrison as well. Glenna Balmer went home. She wasn't feeling well. Francis Grindstaff is having knee surgery this week. We want to lift him up. Missionary Brian Stuckey is very ill and in the hospital. We want to lift him up. And then Shirley Ring's sister, Charlotte, that we prayed for her Wednesday night. She took a great turn for the better. And then yesterday she passed away. But it was a glorious thing. They family gathered around. They said that she was like she was talking and she was smiling. And she goes, boy, there's no darkness. It's like she was communicating in another world. So the family's saying, man, you know, she was right there in the presence of the Lord. So we want to lift up Shirley and the family. We got a couple of camps that are beginning. Little Radicals Camp is this coming weekend. And then Kids Camp starts next week. So let's pray for these needs today. Father, we just come to you, Lord, and we just pray that you would just meet each one of these needs. We lift up Elaine. We lift up Donna and David and Francis and Glenna and Shirley, Sister Charlotte, their family. We just pray that you would just touch them today. Brian Stuckey, Father God, just minister to him right now, Lord. Give him the healing miracle that he needs. Father God, be with the camps this next week, Kids Camp and Little Radicals. We just pray that you would just touch each one of these children as they go to camp and the sponsors that are going. I just thank you for their investment of time and energy. And Lord, just let your will be done. Be with those that are on vacation today, traveling. I know there's several that are gone today. We just pray that you just touch their trip and let them be safe. Father God, be with us in the remainder of this service, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Praise God.
Coming soon, it's the music ministry of Greg Wynn. Singer-songwriter and saxophonist Greg Wynn has been described as one of the most versatile music ministers on the road today. He has a style of music for everyone, from smooth jazz and gospel on his saxophones, contemporary vocal worship, as well as fun songs and classic hymns. His combination of vocals and sax numbers, along with his quick wit and a strong message, make his concerts a unique experience.
I always love hearing Greg Wynn. He's just so talented.
Love the saxophone, but more than anything, love his spirit.
He really puts the feeling of the Lord in me when he sings.
Very talented sax player.
He's entertaining.
I love the concert. Greg's awesome.
This is one concert you won't want to miss. Bring your family and friends to enjoy the music ministry of Greg Wynn.
Amen, 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 amen. We will have him here this next Sunday morning. And so next Sunday morning, how many know it's 4th of July? We have a couple rules. No setting fireworks off inside the building. And normally I would say bring me snacks, but I'm trying to be better, so don't bring me snacks either. But anyway, we will not have Sunday school hour, but we are going to have coffee and donuts and kind of a fellowship hour beforehand. And so if you'd like to come and enjoy some donuts and coffee, and I'll make sure we have good donuts, and we'll have a good time. And then Greg Wynn will be ministering to us in the service. And so if you're not out on a vacation or whatever else, we'd love for you to come and celebrate 4th of July with us here next Sunday morning. Want to say thank you. If you read in the bulletin already, you already know, but thank you for everyone who helped with the WM Women's Ministry bake sale last Sunday. Together, we raised $1,923 for the Tractor for Trent project, which is awesome. Which, if you look up here, says that we have now surpassed $9,000 towards that project, and is just a significant way into helping to buy that tractor for them. And I know that Trent Morrow and over in Uruguay will appreciate that. Like Pastor said, we've got Little Radicals Camp and Kids Camp coming up. I want to just encourage you to be praying for them, as the camp is such a life-changing experience, and so I know that they're all excited. If you need more information, like the what to bring and all of that, see Pastor Chad over there in the children's area, and he should be able to provide that for you, so you know exactly the when's, where, and why's, and what time to be here and all of that. And so we're going to have a tremendous camp season with the kids, and I'm excited for that. And then just 2 weeks, by the way, 2 weeks from tomorrow, there's 38 of us, 24 from our church, 14 from Bartlesville, that we headed to the Denver Dream Center on a missions trip. So it's just right around the corner. And I sent my office this week, Pastor, going, man, I better be ready. And so we're excited about that and what God's going to do in Denver in and through us. And so be praying for that also. I want to welcome any of you that are guests today. If this is your first time here, if you're a guest, there's a card in the seat back in front of you. If you'd fill that out and place it in the offering bag, which is going to pass in just a few moments here, that would really help us to have a record of your attendance. Well, at this time, I'm going to ask the ushers to come as we receive of the tithe and offering this morning. Amen. 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 Man, how many of the Lord's been good to you? Come on. How many of you got plans for 4th of July already? Anybody got big 4th of July plans? I bought a bunch of watermelons yesterday for our Wednesday service this week. So youth service, we're having watermelon mania. So if you would love for you to be a part of that this week too. So Lord, we thank you so much for all that you've given us. Lord, all that you've multiplied and all that you've put your hand upon to bless. Lord, I pray that you're going to do tremendous things through all that we give, Lord, that people will come to know you. And Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you for your giving this morning. Praise God. You glad to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. About 50 years ago, in 1971, I was a whopping 10 years old myself. There was a songwriter, keyboard player, that wrote a beautiful ballad. Actually, he sat down one night after his wife and kids went to bed, and these words started kind of coming to his mind. And so he wrote this in about an hour and a half. It's the songwriter was David Gates, and he was the lead singer, or he was the keyboard player. He probably sang as well to the group Bread. Any of you ever heard the word Bread? That's the group Bread. Yeah. And the title of the song that he wrote was If. How many of you have heard the word, their song, If? Yeah. And so he wrote that song, and it was a hit. It went to Billboard top whatever 100 for several weeks in a row. And that song actually can kind of, it's written, you know, a love between a man and a woman, but it could be in a sense, written about our relationship with the Lord. And so the words go like this: if a picture paints 1,000 words, then why can't I paint you? The words will never show the you I've come to know. If a face could launch 1,000 ships, then where am I to go? There's no one home but you. You're all that's left me too. And when my love for life is running dry, you come and pour yourself on me. If a man could be two places at one time, I'd be with you. Tomorrow and today, beside you all the way. If the world should stop revolving, spinning slowly down to die, I'd spend the end with you. And when the world was through, then one by one the stars would all go out, then you and I would simply fly away. I thought, you know, that's kind of the way it is with the Lord. He is our shelter. He is our rock. He is the one that's always going to be there for us. And one of these days, as we sang Wednesday night in church, we're going to fly away with him. Amen. And so the title of the message this morning is If. Now, if is not a big word. It's only two letters, but it has big ramifications. It's a really, really big word in the sense that these two letters can be the difference between life and death. These two letters can be the difference between success and failure. This word can be the difference between victory and defeat. Just that little word, if, it has huge impact. Today, I want us to look at some of the great ifs of the Bible. Now, I'm going to violate every rule that my homiletics teacher taught me in Bible college. Homiletics, if you don't know what that is, it is the art of preaching. And one of the things they said you do in college is you have a good beginning, you have a good ending, and not too far apart is one rule. The other rule is you're only supposed to have about 3 or 4 points to have a really good message. So I'm going to violate today. I have 10 points. So hold on your seatbelt. We're going to go quickly, though. So we won't spend a lot of time on each one, because there are a lot of ifs in the Bible, and they have great ramification. I mean, it's so powerful what can happen if such and such is done, or if such and such isn't done, and it's up to us. I mean, this thing called salvation was started with the Lord, and he gives it as a gift to us, and we enjoy the relationship we have with the Lord here, and we enjoy what's coming in heaven. But I want to tell you, a whole lot of our Christian life is dependent on what we do and the if part. If we do this, I'll do this. Now, salvation is a gift, but there's a part that we have to play. And I think sometimes that gets lost in today's world. Oh, it's just about all grace, and God will just do it all, and you just sit back and relax. I wish that were true. There are so many promises in the Bible that are conditional, that he says, I'll do this if you do that. So we're going to look at 10 of them this morning. And they're going to be in chronological order. In other words, as the Bible goes, that's how they're going to go. So can anybody tell me probably one of the greatest if chapters in the Old Testament? It's near the front. What chapter would that be? Let me tell you this. I'll give you a hint. It's found in Deuteronomy. Does anybody know what chapter is the big if chapter? Deuteronomy 28. So look at Deuteronomy chapter 28. We're going to read 6 verses. The whole chapter is all about what God will do if you do this. It's about the blessing of obedience. This passage focuses on obeying. So Deuteronomy chapter 28, but let's pray before we go on further. Father, we just pray right now that you would bless this time together as we look through your word, Father God, at all of the promises that you have made to us that are conditional. And I pray that you help us to be people that want to pursue your promises and obey them so that we can enjoy the things that you have for us as a family, as an individual, as a church, even as a nation, in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. This whole chapter is about obedience. But look at the very, very first word of Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. The very first word is if. He says, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all his commands that I am giving you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the world. You will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. Your towns and your fields will be blessed. Your children and your crops will be blessed. The offspring of your herds and flocks will be blessed. Your fruit baskets and bread boards will be blessed. Wherever you go and whatever you do will be blessed. And he goes on, he continues to talk about what the Lord will give to those that are obedient. The second half of the chapter, we're not going to read it, but you can take time to read it. There's like 64 or 68 verses, I believe, in Deuteronomy 28. And to talk about the curses for disobedience. And again, several ifs in there. And so the whole passage focuses on obedience. 68 verses concerning the effects of obedience and disobedience. I know this is mainly referring to Israel, but how many of you know that as Christians, we have been grafted in, we are in the body of Christ, we are in the new Israel in a sense. And so just because this was written by Moses to the people back then about the conditions, there is much of this that applies to us as well. That if we obey God, we're going to be blessed. Doesn't mean everything's always going to be rosy, everything's always going to be nice, but we, in the long, big picture of things, we're going to end up in heaven one day and say, boy, wasn't I a blessed life, have a blessed life for following the Lord and choosing his way. Obeying God brings blessing. Disobeying God brings curses, confusion, and frustration. As verse 20 says, the Lord himself will send on you curses, confusion, and frustration if you disobey. And so the choice is ours. Every day we have to decide which way we will go, which path we will take. Will we obey God today or will we not obey God? Will I do it his way or will I do it my way? Will I follow his word or will I follow the latest trend out there? Will I believe what Deuteronomy and Matthew and Acts and John says, or will I believe what CBS and NBC and ABC and Fox says? What will I believe and what will I do about it? Now, I'm glad we have the Holy Spirit's help. I'm so thankful that in the New Testament here, we have the Holy Spirit who was poured out that helps us. He lives inside of us. They didn't have that back in Deuteronomy. The Holy Spirit would come down on an individual for a while and then would lift. But after the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out on everyone, where we have the Holy Spirit with us. He helps us even in our weakness. And when we fail, we can say, God, I messed that up. I wanted to obey you, Lord, but forgive me. I didn't do it right. Help me to do better the next time. And we can walk with the Lord, thankfully, in his forgiveness and in his love. So the first if of the 10 is obedience. The second if is one that we hear referred to a lot as we're talking about our land, our country. Anybody want to guess what that is? 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. That's right. He says, then if my people, if my people who are called by my name and will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. It's a conditional promise. This passage focuses on praying. The first was obeying. Now it's praying. We quote this verse a lot as we seek to pray for our land. Wednesday evening, we gathered around Old Glory right down here. It's a beautiful prayer time as we laid hands on the flag of the United States and said, Lord, God, heal our land. Touch us, we pray. And people prayed out. It was a wonderful time of prayer. As Christians, we have to decide if we are going to pray and believe what the word says or not. The Lord keeps his word. He keeps his promises. He's looking for those who will stand in the gap and make up the hedge. He's looking for some people that will pray and seek his face and say, God, we want your will done in our land. Will you be one of those? Will you be one of those that the Lord can count on? There's a verse in the Bible that says, the Lord's eyes search to and fro throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Can the Lord depend on you? Can he depend on me? I trust that he can. Prayer. Praying. Number three. Probably one of the most beloved psalms in all of the psalms. Probably most people would say their favorite psalm is Psalm 23. But probably second or first could be, depending, is Psalm 91. That's right. Psalm 91. Verses 9 through 16 talks about abiding in the Lord. Psalm 91:9, if you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you, no plague will come near your home. For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. All of that is if we make the Lord our refuge. As verse 1 says, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Again, it's conditional. If you make the Lord your refuge, your shelter, he will do this and this and this. Living in the shelter of the Most High has many benefits. And like I said, you can read that whole chapter. We didn't read it all. But it's about abiding in Christ, abiding and dwelling in the presence of the Lord. Something we have to seek, something that just doesn't come natural to us. We have to say, Lord, I want to spend time with you. Even as you're walking or as you're doing dishes or as you're mowing the yard or as you're going to Walmart, say, Lord, I just thank you for your presence is with me. Lord, I just seek your presence and your face, even as I am driving my car. Just don't close your eyes. He won't force you to hang out with him. We have to want to hang out with the Lord. And the more we hang out with the Lord, we mentioned this Wednesday night, the brighter our light shines for him. If our light isn't shining too bright, it's probably because we have not been hanging out with the Lord like we should. It's a choice we make. We have to choose to focus on the Lord and walk with him and talk with him in every moment of every day. Amen. If number four, go to the book of Malachi, last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3. Does anybody know what that chapter is known for? I didn't hear you. Tithing, giving. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Should people cheat God? Yet you've cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? You've cheated me of the tithes and offerings due to me. You are under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so that there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, notice the if you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. And he continues to talk about how you will be blessed if you bring the tithe to the Lord. Somebody said, does the Lord do windows for 5%? No, he only does them for 10%. Only the tithe. Amen. It's about choosing to give and more specifically to tithe. The Bible says in Proverbs 21:26, some people are always greedy for more, but the godly love to give. tithing and giving is a doorway to God's blessing. How many of you found that to be true? Amen. It's a command with a promise. And it's even a command with a challenge. You don't find many like that. Where the Lord will tell us something. He'll tell us the promise that comes with it. And then he'll says, hey, put me to the test. Try me. Try and see if I will come through and obey what I have said. God blesses the other 90% when you give the first 10. When you're faithful with that first 10%, he blesses the other 90. You know what? I wouldn't dare try to live my life with my whole paycheck. I wouldn't do it. I have to give that first 10% to the Lord. And I tithe on the gross. Some people tithe on the net. Whatever. I want to tell you, he will make the fridge go longer, the car run better, and the money go further when you put him first. Your old, Kenmore refrigerator might be on its last leg and it's wanting to go out and die because you've had it 15 years. You notice they don't make appliances like they used to. They used to last like 30 years. Now you get 10, you're doing good. We bought a new fridge 10, 11 years ago and it's already given us problems. I'm thinking maybe it hasn't gone out yet because I've been faithful to tithe. That Kenmore's going, oh, I want to quit. And God says, you keep working. Steve is tithing. Steve is faithful to tithe. Whatever you're wanting to do, you just keep making ice and keep keeping things cold. Now, one of these days, I'm sure it ain't going to last 50 years. You know, there may be time when that alternator on your car wants to go out, but God says, no, Ralph tithes. You keep working. Amen. I believe that. I believe the Lord, he just has special blessing for those that put him first. Say, oh, Pastor, I don't think we can make it. You know, I got so many bills, I just can't. You know, test God. There will be blessing come in that you won't be able to explain it. Think, I don't know where that came from. I heard about the guy that, and a couple guys got lost at sea, and they were marooned on an island. And one of the guys, he just kept being upset and just getting mad and just all in a dither. And the other guy, he just back relaxing. He said, hey, you know, we're okay. We're going to be found. We're okay. But you don't know. Nobody knows we're here. Our ship is, you know, our boat is sunk, and we're out here on this island. Nobody's, what are we going to do? And he's just panicking. Finally, the man that was all calm says, listen, I'm a very faithful tithing member of my church. I give $1,000 a week to that church. My pastor will find me. He will find me. So, unexpected blessings belong to the believer that believe God's if in giving. Number 5, Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24. We're not talking about giving now. We're talking about forgiving. Forgiving. Matthew 5, 23 says, so if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar, go and be reconciled to that person, then come and offer your sacrifice to God. Now again, that whole thing starts the second word. That time is if. If you're worshiping the Lord, if you're praying, if you're at the altar and suddenly you remember that you have a problem with someone, there's somebody you need to forgive or ask forgiveness for, go and take care of it. I have to confess the reason, one of the reasons I'm standing here today was because of that very thing. And I've told you that story before. I had aught in my heart against someone at the altar and the Lord just prompted that to me to go to ask that person's forgiveness and I did. And when I came back to the altar, the Lord said, now I want you to go preach the gospel. I believe the reason I'm a pastor today was because of that very act of obedience in the area of forgiving. Forgiveness. It's an if, but but it has great blessing. Number six, Matthew 5:43, same chapter. This if is about loving. So if you have heard the law that says love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If, there's that big word again, if you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. The word perfect means complete. You are to be complete in him, different in the way you treat other people. Choosing to love and be kind, even when those who that you don't care for or they did you wrong, you choose to love them anyway. It has amazing, amazing results. Another place in the Bible talks about heaps burning coals on their head. In the fact that the Lord can take that heat that they're feeling and may lead them to salvation, may lead them to Jesus. You know, I believe one of the reasons that Stephen was stoned there in Acts chapter 7 and 8 is when he was being stoned, Saul was standing right there giving his approval, and Saul heard Jesus or heard Stephen say, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." I think that it had a huge impact on Saul for him eventually surrendering his life to Christ and becoming the great apostle Paul. There is power in loving and in forgiving. Number seven, Matthew 10, 37 and 30 through 39. Says, if you love your father or mother more than you love me, you are not worthy of being mine. Or if you love your son or daughter more than me, you are not worthy of being mine. If you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you are not worthy of being mine. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. Now, this is about following the Lord and being all in. It seems harsh when he is talking about your father, your mother, and loving them, and your son and your daughter. He's saying, of course we are to love our family. Of course we're to love our parents and our kids. But he said, you have to love me above them, even above yourself. You have to love me more than anything in this world. It's about following the Lord and being all in, loving God more than you love your very own life. Lord, I want to love you that way. Number eight, I told you we were going quick. Same chapter, verse 42. And if you give even a cup of cold water to one of the least of my followers, you will surely be rewarded. It's about the choice to serve. The choice to serve. When we choose to serve, even in small ways, it is rewarded. Everything you do for the Lord is rewarded. There are people that do things in this church that nobody else sees. And I could start naming things. I'll get in trouble if I do because I'd leave somebody out. But for one, and he would not want me to say this, you see that man right over there, Darren, raise your hand. See that guy right there? You know what he does once a month? And he's been doing it for years, I don't know, 10 years maybe. Maybe longer, I don't even know. He comes down here at the first of every month and changes all the return air filters that are to be changed. And he puts the stuff in the sewer system, the almost said the X-Lax. It's not the X-Lax. Rid-X.
X-lax. Oh, that's on tape, too. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, he puts the stuff in the sewer system, changes the air filters. For the longest, years ago, I was trying to remember to do that. We'd forget, and it'd be an air filter. It hadn't been changed in 3 years, you know. You couldn't even blow dirt through it. And Darren said, I'll take care of that. He comes in, does it, no big fanfare about it, and does it faithfully month after month after month. That's just one. There's others in here that do things. I want to tell you, even a cup of cold water, Jesus said, you will not lose your reward. Hallelujah. I'm thankful that when we serve him, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, I use this scripture a lot at funerals for a believer. It says in verse 58, so my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Nothing you do for the Lord is useless. Amen. You know, I kind of think when we get to heaven one day, there's not going to be a one of us that wish we had done less. I think we're going to get up there and say, man, I wish I would have done more. I wish I could have done this. I wish I'd have taken the time to serve the Lord more in this way. Because you'll start seeing people being rewarded. You think, I could have done that. I could have done that. The Lord will have a great reward time one day for those who choose to believe that he rewards our service. Number 9, Luke chapter 11, verse 34. Then Jesus said, come to me. Wrong. Wait a minute. Oh, Luke, I'm in Matthew. First mistake I've ever made. Luke chapter 11, verse 34. Your eye is a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light. But when it is bad, your body is filled with darkness. Make sure that the light you think you have is not actually darkness. If, everybody say if you are filled with light with no dark corners, then your whole life will be radiant as though a floodlight were filling you with light. Wow. Talking about surrendering. Being sanctified, being set apart, no dark corners. Well, that really struck me when I read that this week. If you are filled with light with no dark corners, we want to say, Lord, if there's any darkness in me, any dark corners at all, Lord, take care of it. I repent. I'm sorry. Lord, just clean that out. Forgive me, Lord. No dark corners. And when you have that attitude of surrendering to the Lord and being filled with his light, you will be a floodlight of the Lord. I mean, you will shine and people will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And you pray prayers like, Lord, is there any darkness in me? Remove it. See if there be any wicked way in me, as that old song says, I surrender all. Number 10, go to the book of John. John chapter 15. Verse 5. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. This if passage is talking about bearing much fruit. Fruit bearing is a choice. We must ask the Lord to help us remain securely connected to the vine who is Christ. We should want to bring great glory to our Father in heaven, should we not? How many of you want God to get great glory from your life? As he looks at you and says, man, that person brings me so much glory and praise as they live for me, as they work for me, as they witness for me, as they sing for me, as they pray to me. I am just so blessed by the glory that they bring to me here in heaven. We should want to bring glory to God like that. Much glory. Much, much glory. In conclusion, that was a quick 10, wasn't it? Tell me the next time you hear a sermon with 10 points that goes in that long. Man, I'm going to have to stretch out this conclusion. You'll think you'll start getting comfortable with short messages. I actually want to mention one more if verse, because somebody might need Jesus today. And that if verse is found in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Hallelujah. It's about coming to Christ. Not just for salvation the first time. I'm talking about even coming to Christ, continually coming to Christ. And asking for his help, asking for his forgiveness, asking him to cleanse you. When I was a children's pastor many years ago, I had a big piece of cardboard that was shaped like a pill. It was, you know, like a long pill that's, you know, green on one side and white on the other. It was, and I called it the capsule. And I put on there 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse us our sins and from all and give us cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I said, that's the gospel. And we need to take the gospel just as often as we take other pills and more often. Have you come to Christ? Have you confessed him with your mouth? Have your sins been forgiven? Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? The most important if of all is this verse about confessing our sins and finding forgiveness. St. John wrote, Paul wrote in Romans another couple of verses that are very, very similar to what John said there in 1 John, in Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God and is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. I think it's awesome that the Holy Spirit, of course, he used both of these men to write the Word of God along with about 38 others that we have known as the Bible, but the Holy Spirit moved upon both John and Paul to pen almost the very same thing about coming to Christ. So let me ask you today, how are you doing in these if verses? In all the ifs we talked about obeying, praying, abiding, giving, forgiving, loving, following, serving, surrendering, fruit-bearing, and coming to Christ. It's a lot to do, but let me tell you, the reward is out of this world. The reward is out of this world. The reward is eternity in heaven with Christ. Father in heaven, we just thank you, Lord, this morning. We thank you, God, for your blessing. We thank you, Lord, that when we put you first, I thank you, Lord, that whenever we choose to obey your word and obey these ifs that we have read about in the word of God, that you do bless. Lord, I wish it was automatic. I wish everything was just automatic, but it's not. But that would take the journey out of it. That would take the excitement and the fun out of it if you just did it all for us.
I pray that you help us, Lord, to walk with you and talk with you in such a relationship that these if verses come, in a sense, almost automatically to us. We wouldn't want it any other way. We would want to give, and we would want to abide in you, and we would want to pray, and we would want to serve. And most certainly, we would want to be saved. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed right now. Maybe there's somebody here today. You're not a Christian. You're not saved. You don't know for sure if you've confessed Christ as your Savior and you've asked him to come into your heart. Is that you today? Would you just lift up your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. I don't know for sure that I'm saved. I don't know that if I died right now, if I'd go to heaven or not. I'm not really sure. Anyone here today? Those watching by the live stream, maybe that's you today. Do you know the Lord? If you know the Lord, you are blessed. And Father, I pray for those who may be watching by live stream or maybe even here in the sanctuary that didn't raise their hand, but they're not sure. I pray, Father God, that you would help them to come to you and believe your word and believe the verses we've read about confessing and believing. Lord, help us to be a church that leans on you and seeks you and searches to be the people you've called us to be. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. I just like for us to come around these altars. It's early for a place, for a time of prayer in this place. Would you come and join me this morning? And maybe you need to ask the Lord, help me, Father God, to be more giving and more loving and all the things we've talked about already. Let's come and have an altar service here this morning before we leave. Thank you, Jesus.
of thee. You have given life to me. I was nothing before you.
Has he given life to you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Before we go, Linda, can we sing Because He Lives? Would y'all stand with me? Let's sing that song this morning. And because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. And because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know and life is worth living just because He lives. And life is worth the living just because He lives. One more time. And life is worth the living just because He lives. Praise God. Praise God. Brother RJ, would you just close us in prayer today?